This is Smart Women, Smart Power, a podcast that features conversations with some of the world's most powerful women.
Every girl has their own special power, and every girl is capable of doing whatever they want to do.
We feature women who are breaking barriers and shaping the future of foreign policy, national security, international business, and development. I'm Beverly Kirk, the director of the Smart Women, Smart Power Initiative at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington.
The Kung Fu Nuns are perhaps best known for their work as first responders following the 2015 earthquake that devastated Nepal. The Kung Fu title comes from martial arts and self-defense training they do to build strength and confidence as they promote gender equality in the Western Himalayas. The nuns also fight human trafficking in the region, run health clinics, and work to protect the environment. I sat down with two Kung Fu nuns to talk about their efforts to empower women. Atlantic Council Senior Advisor Carrie Lee also joined the conversation. She has spent more than a decade working in the Himalayas and has worked with the nuns. Carrie, Konchuk, and Mingyur, welcome to the Smart Women, Smart Power podcast. I'm so honored and thrilled that you're here today.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
I want to start out by introducing our audience to the Drukpa line of Buddhism, which is the line of Buddhism that you follow. How has your faith inspired you to do what you're doing?
Drukpa lineage is a lineage which has been in the Himalayas for 1,000 years, and it started from the great Indian saint, scholar saint Naropa, and this is our guru now, the head of the Drukpa lineage, His Holiness the Gyalwang Drukpa, and it's a 1,000-year-old sect. I think what inspired all of us to do the work, the first person I would say is His Holiness, our root guru, the Gyalwang Drukpa. And the other thing which inspired me personally is all the nuns and our unity to work together and never giving up.
And Mingyur, what about you? What inspired you?
When firstly I joined this nunnery, I was a kind of shy person, and I never overcome, and I never built up my confidence. Then since I joined this nunnery, His Holiness the Gyalwang Drukpa introduced Kung Fu at our nunnery, and since I learned a lot and I built up my inner confidence, not only that, but in our nunnery, I see everybody helping each others, and whenever we are struggling in some parts, they really inspire me, and they always give me confidence that you can do it, don't give up, just do it. That part is very inspired for me.
Tell me how Kung Fu was introduced to your order. What prompted it?
From the beginning, our lineage, I would say, His Holiness the Gyalwang Drukpa has always had this vision of bringing the girls equally to boys and bringing nuns equally to monks, I would say. Because it's not that we are against the monks or against the boys, but it's because there was no equality before, and Holiness really wanted the girls to have their own voice and have their own power. And it started with breaking many rules, I would say. Not rules, but something that's there from a very old time, that nuns can't do this or nuns can't do that. So it started with leading big ritual practices. And then the other thing which we did was we were like criticized a lot, and there were people who were coming to our gate and throwing stones and like fighting to us and that kind of thing. But instead of giving up, Holiness thought that if nuns learned Kung Fu, they can defend themselves and be more confident and more strong physically and mentally too. So I think that's how Kung Fu came in.
Carrie, talk about the challenges of doing something like this in a culture where women perhaps had not had this role previously.
Mm. Well, traditionally in the Himalayas, nuns were considered second-class citizens. So they were relegated to cooking and cleaning. And it is said that if they are well-behaved nuns who served the monks well, in their next lifetime, they can come back as a monk and then become enlightened. The head of this particular lineage thought the idea was rather ridiculous and threw it out the window. So he gave the nuns leadership positions, as we heard Konchuk talk about, asked them to lead rituals that were normally meant for monks. But conservative pockets hit back very hard. The rhetoric is that the nuns are not real Buddhists, that they are heretics, they're blasphemous, and they've received death threats. And when we talked about, and the harassment is real, and they've been met with assault as well.
Really? Wow. So this change, it's not just something for the nuns themselves. This is an entire culture shift. But it's a popular cultural shift because, as I understand it, you have more than 700 young women on a waiting list to become Kung Fu nuns. Is that correct?
We have 700 Kung Fu nuns, and we have a big list of waiting nuns because we don't have a place to have them now. Uh-huh. But we want them to be nuns soon.
Well, talk to me about learning Kung Fu and learning self-defense and martial arts. Mingyur?
Firstly, when we offered this self-defense program in Ladakh, that time it was 2017. That time we never expect that how many girls will be joined and what will be it like, because we are the first martial art we are putting in a kind of remote area, especially Ladakh.
And just let me pause there. Carrie, explain. Ladakh is a country in the Himalayas.
Ladakh is now its own territory within India. It has traditionally been at the crossroads of the Silk Route. So in this region, you had a beautiful multicultural balance. A lot of the different, it is predominantly Drukpa, but the Drukpas have welcomed different sects to come in. But also, they've lived very harmoniously with Sufi Muslims. In the past, you had Buddhist kings marry Muslim queens, and Buddhist kings would build mosques, and Muslim queens would build Buddhist temples. It is this very beautiful harmony that the nuns are currently working very hard to maintain. For geopolitical reasons and economic reasons, there are a lot of outside influences coming into Ladakh, so that balance is very much threatened. And we have found that women are on the front lines of maintaining that balance.
And Mingyur, please continue talking about the training and how that has been so helpful to the young women there.
Since many years in Ladakh, there are no martial art trainings. There are no even single Kung Fu master in Ladakh. When we started to continue this self-defense, at the beginning, we thought that young girls will not join. It will be very first and in whole history, I guess. We are the first one who put something new into Ladakh. So at the beginning, we thought nobody will come. When we arrived in Ladakh and there were more than 100 nuns, even some Muslim girls also joined, then we just surprised that they inspired us that if we try, something will happen. At the beginning, some people just criticized that why nuns are doing something kind of violence, because we are learning Kung Fu, now we are trying to put violence into young girls. So that types of criticism always happen. But we had recently in 2019, in July, we again, 17, 18, 19, we did 3 self-defense program in Ladakh. In July 2019, we heard lots of good things from community, because at the beginning, we thought people will criticize and that makes us a bit weak. But now we thought that people are coming to know more about us, and our aim is not for the violence, not for the harm each others, but we as a nun, we always thinking something good for others. But maybe in whole history, nobody learned Kung Fu, maybe that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now people are improving, and more and more young girls are participating in self-defense programs.
Beverly, I will share with you a story that inspired these self-defense trainings. In the Himalayas, in Jammu and Kashmir, there was a nomadic Muslim girl. She's about somewhere between 6 to 8 years old, and her family had accidentally grazed on Hindu land. She was kidnapped by a Hindu priest and kept in a cage in the temple and violently gang raped, and was eventually killed by the chief of police. Nobody was brought to justice. So I think the nuns are big believers in that no one's coming to rescue you. So the best solution is to be your own hero. And they could talk more about the self-defense training, but I don't think it's really about Kung Fu. I think it's about creating community of women to support each other where there aren't resources to do so.
And let's talk about the women's empowerment and the gender equality that has sprung from this effort. How has that been received?
Actually, breaking stereotypes in our place is a big thing, I would say, because in the Himalayas, not only in our place, I think on all of the Himalayas, girls aren't given equal chances as boys. Mm-hmm. And we doing something different, we working for equal rights, I think was something very different for people to, I would say, digest. And then it was a very new thing for them. And people really didn't like, I don't know, maybe people thought about it, but no one really thought of doing something. But then after we started doing it, I think at the beginning we had lots of criticism and people telling us, you are nuns, just sit and pray, that's your work, and stop doing things like that, you don't need to do this, you know, there are people who are doing and kind of stuff, you know. We always had these criticisms saying, why are you a nun, just sit and pray kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because people from olden days, I would say old thinking, people always think of nuns as who sit on mats whole day and pray. But with the time, it's 21st century, world is changing, time is changing, and our nuns' belief is walking the talk, that action speaks louder than words, I would say. And that's how all this work of cycling for hundreds and thousands of miles and doing kung fu, doing so many things which are prohibited to nuns, I would say, like, it came up for a message as women empowerment, gender equality.
And Kanchuk, I want to follow up because you guys were the first responders after the devastating earthquakes in Nepal in 2015. And that lends itself to what Carrie said about no one's coming to save us, so we must help ourselves. But you also run health clinics, the bicycling you mentioned, the pilgrimages, that's work connected to fighting against human trafficking. Did all of this spring out of the, once you learned Kung Fu and saw how it could help the community, how it could empower women, then you went on to do these other things? Talk to me about that.
Actually, when I would start with Kung Fu, when we started doing Kung Fu, it wasn't, we didn't really have this thinking of what will we do about it or kind of thing. First, it started because Holiness wanted our nuns to be confident and be mentally and physically strong. And once we felt like we were doing great after we learned mm-hmm. Kung Fu skills, mm-hmm. and it wasn't for violence, and it never had this impact on our anger or any kind of emotion, and it was making us more physically and mentally strong. So we also thought, as Gary told you, that if we teach this kind of skills to other girls, and it's not about only Kung Fu, because just Kung Fu in 7 days is not possible, and we have been learning for like 8 years, and we are still practicing. But in those 7 days, we are with them for 24/7, and we talk to girls. We have one-on-one sessions. They tell us about their problems, what they have been going through. Because as nuns, we don't go through same problems as them. And we kind of give them solutions. We kind of talk to them. I think that kind of thing came up. And I think Kung Fu was really helpful for us in that sense. And the other thing is, we were the first responders after the earthquake. Actually, like, most of the nuns are from India in our nunnery. We were offered evacuation from Indian government.
And you didn't go.
And we didn't go. The nuns, like, refused to go. They were saying that we were here in our good times and we'll be here for the bad times also. And we'll help the community to come up and build up. And even the youngest nun in our nunnery, she's just 7 years old. We asked her if she wanted to leave. And she said, whatever you guys are doing, I'm doing that. And if you guys are staying to help, and I'm going to be there to help. And she helped a lot, I would say. She's just seven. We all were very shocked. And looking at her gave us a big inspiration and encouragement of not backing down. And
we brought in the relief, the food, the water into places that outside rescuers couldn't get to.
Yes, and they were the danger zone, I would say. And even the government had asked many NGOs not to go there because it was not stable. And we still choose to go to the places where no one was going and were really, really dangerous to be there. We had to pass through avalanches, landslides, earthquakes still happening. And
mm-hmm. The aftershocks.
Aftershocks. Those aftershocks were not just aftershocks. They were like sometimes 6 point and sometimes 5 point something. And sometimes 4 point something. And we crossed to all those avalanches and we had to river raft sometimes. We had to carry the things on our back and walk for miles. And but all the hard work we did, once we reached the place when we started giving the relief things to people, the love they showed us, the encouragement they gave us, that was really heart-touching. And we totally forgot all the difficulties we had faced to go there. And it was like, we'll do more, no problem, we'll do more, you know, that kind of encouragement we had this. Uh-huh. And it was really like heart-touching for us. And that gave us more of like, I think it was because of Kung Fu that we weren't scared, and we were more like physically strong to even carry that kind of rice or sack and so many things and on our backs and walking miles. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped us a lot. And I think all these works are connected to each other, the Kung Fu, the gender equality thing, the women empowerment thing, I think, and the work we did after the relief work. And there were so many things all connected together. I think that made the nuns power, you know, the inspiration that everyone came together to do something. The unity was there. So I think it was a great success.
And something else you work on is environmental stability. You're in a part of the world where, as I understand it, climate change is very noticeable. Mignure, can you talk about the importance or why you feel it's so important that you guys take the lead on making sure that the region is environmentally stable?
We believe in serving our environment clean. Not only that, but we do lots of padyatras and cycling mm-hmm. yatra. But it's just cycling yatra and padyatra. But in the between, we collect lots of bottles, and especially in Himalayan region, because we believe that Himalayan region is the way where the waters come from. So we really focus on that place, because if we clean Himalayan region, then the waters come clean on
the water from the glacier in the Himalayas that I believe I read it supplies water for about a third of the world's population. Carrie, correct me if I'm wrong about that.
Yes. And I think that a lot of the Himalayan communities drink straight out of the water sources. Uh-huh. And while plastic bottles are finding their way into Himalayan communities, there is no means of disposing of them. So they get into the water stream. And as they break down, the water becomes more and more toxic for the communities that need them.
That's really incredible work. Well, all of this work has culminated in you being recognized. The reason you're here in the United States is to receive the Asia Society's Asian Game Changers Award. What does that mean to you, being recognized in this way? Mignure, I'll start with you.
First of all, we never thought that one day we will receive this award, because since many years, we as a nun doing meditation, but we focus on environmental gender equality. But when I heard that we are going to receive this award, I was just shocked. And I thought that since many years, we did lots of good things. Now we are, now world is knowing what we did. And this award makes me and other nuns inspired a lot to overcome more and more. So we thought, now we have to really come up. What we did is not just waste. Now people are knowing more, and we should really come up and do more for our environment.
Kamchuk?
Actually, it was a great encouragement for us. Once, I think, Kerry told us that we are getting this big award. We all, as in our nunnery, we are not allowed to have phones and internet access. Not all the nuns are allowed. But we still went to the office with Mignure, and we looked up at this website, seeing that what kind of award it was. And when we knew that it was a path-breaking award, like people who have inspired and made an impact in this world are receiving this kind of award. And we were so like overwhelmed and happy about it. And we are really honored that out of so many people around the world, they discovered us and gave us this award. And I think, like Mingyu said, we all nuns are really, really encouraged. For us, it was never our intention to make for an award, I would say.
You didn't do this work so that you would get an award.
Yeah, we get an award. It was just like, we wanted to do something for the community we are living in. We wanted to make a change, which is a positive change and which is a good change for the world and for everyone like around the world, not only our community, not only the people in the Himalayas, but all around the world. We wanted people to know that how important gender equality is, how important our environment is for us. And this recognition, I think this award is a recognition of our belief and I think of the work we did. So we are really happy to have this.
As we wrap up here, I really want to ask you, what advice do you have for those of us here in the West? What do you want us to know about your region, and your efforts?
Actually, the one advice I have for all the women and ladies all around the world is always believe in yourself. We as nuns, we Drukpa nuns, we don't believe in women empowerment, because empowerment is like someone is giving you the power or passing the power to you. But we believe in that every girl has their own special power and every girl is capable of doing whatever they want to do, even if it's a household. Just mother doing household stuff is incredible, I think. And it's not about you doing a great job or you doing a household work. It's just that whatever you are capable of doing, you should do it and never lose hope of like, I'm just a housewife kind of thing, you know, or I can't do anything. I'm not good at studies, because these days all the girls have this, or not only girls, all the young generation have this stress of studies. You should be good at your exams. You should be good at, you know, everything. You can't be good at everything because you are human. That's why I think whatever you are good at, whatever you are capable of doing, I think you should do it. Always have this goal in your heart that whatever it is, I'll never give up on my goal. And if it makes a positive impact, I think that would be a great decision.
Minyur, anything to add?
I want to say that once we get failed, just don't give up, and you should really come up, because without pain, without struggle, you never be success. So be brave and be bold and be your own hero.
Thank you so much, Minyur, Konchuk, Carrie. This is an absolutely fascinating conversation. Congratulations on your award. And thank you so much for being here with us on the Smart Women, Smart Power podcast.
Thank you, Beverly.
Thank you so much.
Subscribe to the Smart Women, Smart Power podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to good content. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SmartWomen, and I'm @BeverlyKirk. Thanks for listening. See you next time.